אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
The writings of Baal HaSulam, Volume 1, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot, page 312, item 110. You can watch a lesson on Kab.TV and ask questions there, and selected questions will be asked. Relevant questions will be asked during the lesson. Item 110, page 312, in the writings of Baal HaSulam, Volume 1, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. Thus far, we examined only the two degrees of conditional love. Yet, we must still understand how one is awarded coming in the two manners of unconditional love with one's Maker.
Let's put it this way. The Creator is attracting me, drawing me, so I feel good. And then from that, I feel like loving Him, and I'm thankful to Him, and I am truly blossoming. And everything is fine. When he's concealed, I'm like a vegetable. I immediately start dying inside. I can't study. I can't do anything. I have no vitality, no spirit. So there could be here love that is unconditional, whether I receive or don't, the spirit of life, meaning I have another source of life, and I can be completely disconnected from the light.
Please.
For this, we must thoroughly understand the words of our sages, who said, one must always regard oneself as half guilty and half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, commandment, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. If he commits one transgression, woe unto him, for he has sentenced himself to the side of fault, as was said, and one sinner, etc. Rabbi Abba, son of Rabbi Shimon, says, since the world is judged by its majority, and the individual is judged by the majority, if he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself and the whole world to the side of merit. If he commits one transgression, woe unto him, for he has sentenced himself and the whole world to the side of fault, as was said, and one sinner. For this one sin that he had committed, the world and he have lost much good. Item 111. These words seem puzzling from beginning to end. He says that one who performs one mitzvah immediately sentences to the side of merit, for he is judged after the majority. Yet, this refers only to those who are half guilty and half innocent. And Rabbi Abba, son of Rabbi Shimon, does not speak of those at all. Thus, the essence is absent from the book. Rashi interpreted his words as referring to the words of the first Tana, who says, one must always consider oneself half guilty and half innocent. Rabbi Elazar adds that one should also regard the whole world as though they are half guilty and half innocent. Yet, the essence is absent from the book. Also, why did he change his words? Why is he not speaking like the first Tana, if the meaning is the same? Item 112. This is even more difficult on the object itself, meaning for one to see oneself as though he is only half guilty. This is a wonder. If one knows one's many iniquities, would he lie to himself, saying that he is only half and half? But the Torah states, keep far from a false matter. Moreover, it is written, one sinner destroys much good. This is because one transgression sentences the person and the entire world to the side of fault. Thus, it is about the actual reality, not some false imagination by which one should picture himself and the world.
Kuf Yud Gimel
113. There is another bewilderment. Can it be that there are not many people in each generation who perform one mitzvah? So how is the world sentenced to the side of merit? Does this mean that the situation does not change at all and the world behaves as it always does? Indeed, great depth is required here, for the words cannot be understood superficially. However, the Baita does not speak at all about a person who knows his transgressions are many, to teach him deception, that he is half and half that, or to insinuate that he lacks only one mitzvah. This is not at all the way of the sages. Rather, the Braita speaks of one who feels and imagines that he is completely and utterly righteous and finds himself utterly whole as he is already being awarded the first degree of love by opening his eyes in the Torah. And he who knows the mysteries already testifies that he will not return to folly. To him, the Tana speaks, shows him his way, and proves to him that he is not yet righteous, but in between, meaning half guilty and half innocent. This is so because he still lacks one mitzvah of the 613 mitzvot in the Torah, namely the mitzvah of love. The whole testimony of he who knows the mysteries that he will not sin again is only because of the clarity in one's attainment of the great loss in transgressing. This is considered fear of punishment and is therefore called repentance from fear.
Meaning, thus far he observed everything just from fearing the punishment, and therefore he reached repentance from fear, but not yet to repentance from love. Yes?
114. We also learned above that this degree of repentance from fear still does not correct the person, but only from the time of repentance onward. Yet all the sorrow and anguish he had suffered prior to being awarded the revelation of the face remain as they were, without any correction. Also, the transgressions he had made are not entirely corrected, but remain as mistakes.
115.
This is why the first Tana is said that such a person who is still short of one mitzvah will regard himself as half guilty and half innocent. This means that one should imagine that the time he was granted repentance was in the middle of his years. Thus, he is still half guilty in that half of his years that had passed before he repented. At that time, one is certainly guilty, since repentance from fear does not correct them. It follows also that he is half innocent, in the half of his years since he has been awarded repentance onward. At that time, one is certainly innocent, for he is certain that he will not sin again. Thus, during the first half of his years, he is guilty, and in the second half of his years, he is innocent.
Understand? In a superficial way, not too much, because we don't understand what repentance from fear, repentance of love really is. We don't yet have a feeling or the details in it. But at least on the surface, this is how it is. If it comes, it comes this way, and it comes that way. Clear? What's with you?
What is the guilt and the innocence, and one should see himself as half guilty and half innocent? What is the guilt and what is the innocence?
He'll explain this to us soon. How could it be that I will see myself half-half if I didn't do anything yet? So what person is this speaking of, yes? I'm with you in that question. Okay? Let's go. What?
What does it mean that he who knows the mysteries testifies that he will not return to folly?
There's a certain illumination from above that a person gives to a person where a person doesn't sin any longer.
He loses the will to receive, or?
No, the will to receive is protected by seeing that this is prohibited to do so.
But is he in a state where he is entirely aimed to bestow?
Certainly, yes.
Does that happen before the end of correction?
Of course. What, the end of correction? Wait. These are very high degrees. They're, yes.
Item 116. The Tana tells him to think that if he performs one mitzvah, that mitzvah which he lacks from the number 613, he will be happy, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. This is so because one who is granted the mitzvah of love by repentance from love, through it he is rewarded with turning his sins to merits. Then every sorrow and grief that he had ever suffered prior to being awarded repentance is turned into wondrous, endless pleasure for him. Moreover, he regrets not having suffered several times more, as in the allegory about the landlord and the Jew who loved him. This is called sentencing to the side of merit. Since all his emotions, the mistakes and the sins have become merits for him. Thus, sentencing to the side of merit means that the whole cup that was filled with sins has now been turned into a cup full of merits. In the words of the sages, this inversion is called sentencing. Again, 116. The Tana tells him to think that if he performs one mitzvah, that mitzvah which he lacks from the number 613, he will be happy, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. This is so because one who is granted the mitzvah of love by repentance from love, through it he is rewarded with turning his sins to merits. Then every sorrow and grief that he had ever suffered prior to being awarded repentance is turned into wondrous, endless pleasures for him. Moreover, he regrets not having suffered several times more, as in the allegory about the landlord and the Jew who loved him. This is called sentencing to the side of merit. Since all his emotions, the mistakes and the sins have become merits for him. Thus, sentencing to the side of merit means that the whole cup that was filled with sins has now been turned into a cup full of merits. In the words of the sages, this inversion is called sentencing.
All right.
Hello.
No questions. Well, these are things that we will go through in the future because we don't have a feeling for it yet. Just like that to say, sentencing, repentance from fear, repentance from love. You're sorry about the fact that you made very few transgressions or sins, so you don't have a whole lot to receive a reward for. How could it be that reward from me doing crimes? What, maybe I shouldn't even hear such a thing, at least don't say. Otherwise, everyone will run to do as much as possible till it's not too late to do all the crimes possible. So we don't understand what's written, and There's nothing to rejoice about too much. I see you're already laughing. You're already happy that even by the bad things that I did in the past, I will receive a reward. So, moreover, what could be?
It feels like the excerpts we're reading now are so high and far from
above our intellect,
indeed. So other than praying for the reforming light, there's nothing more to do?
There's no more. Also in our state, there's no more. Only to arrange the correct prayer inside the ten to the Creator and like this. That's the whole point. Other than that, all along the way, you have nothing else. Okay? We're going to 117, yes?
117. The Tanakh further warns him and says that as long as he is in between and has not been granted the one mitzvah that he is missing from the number 613, he should not believe in himself until his dying day. He should also not rely on the testimony of the one who knows the mysteries that he will not return to folly, but he might still transgress. Hence, he should think for himself that if he commits one sin, one transgression, woe unto himself, for he sentenced himself to the side of fault. This is because then he will immediately lose all his wonderful attainment in the Torah and all the disclosure of the face that he has been granted, and he will return to concealment of the face. Thus, he will sentence himself to the side of fault, for he will lose all the merits and the good, even from the latter half of his years. As evidence, the Tanakh brings the verse, one sinner destroys much good. We finished 117, page 314.
There's 118 here below. I didn't see. Okay. That's enough for us thus far. We don't quite understand, but it's clear to us that we don't understand what's written here because the degrees are very high beyond the Machsom. We are moving to...
Moving on to the writings of Baal HaSulam